that I think the first Englishman to penetrate to Tibet and Manchuria, Lhasa and so forth, was Sir Francis Younghusband, and that was now quite a number of years ago. If anyone had said to him, as he left Tibet, that in a very brief span of time, so far as history is concerned, the Dalai Lama would be here in London, in the Albert Hall, speaking to a vast number of people, many of whom have lived their lives here in the United Kingdom. He would have regarded that, I would assume, as almost impossible. But it is indeed symptomatic of the kind of world in which we are now living. And Your Holiness, I see your visit to us as symbolic in more ways than one. You have brought sunshine with you, and that is not a common ingredient in an English summer. And the sunshine that you have brought with you is also a spiritual possession, rooted very deeply in your attitude to life and the religion that you profess. All of us are conscious, I think, now that modern technology has annihilated distance. Faiths and ideologies live together, cheek by jowl, in the same world. And that very world is itself shrinking, and it could shrink so far and further if a great disaster were ever to overwhelm it and life here ceased to be, in a sense, livable. I think, Your Holiness, we may say to you that you come on a message of hope, that you have a vision of a kind of society and a quality of life in which there is compassionate caring, and in and through which people may grow together in the bundle of life into one people. I think it was Shylock who said, "If you prick us, do we not bleed?" And the whole human family is ultimately one, and it is desperate in these days that it should establish itself to be just this. So it is in this spirit that we welcome you very warmly. You have had a life of difficulty and of suffering, but your spirit and the spirit of your people is imperturbable, and there is a kind of happiness and gaiety about it. When we got into what was called the green room this evening, the first remark you said was, "Ought we not to make ourselves up to look beautiful?" Well, that's not necessary, anyhow, Your Holiness, in your case. But may I now just say precisely what is going to happen this evening? First of all, His Holiness is going to speak to us. And when he has done this, we shall move into questions which we have collected, and they are real questions, which particular people have wished to put to His Holiness in various parts of the country. I'm not going to tell Your Holiness what they are, but there's one that does intrigue me. I think it must have been by a little girl, because she said, "Do you enjoy being a Dalai Lama?" And we'll leave you to think that one out later. And then when we come to the questions and they are over, I hope at the end of the evening we may enter into a brief period of silence when we recollect ourselves, and perhaps a very last word from His Holiness as we leave the Albert Hall. So it's my great pleasure and privilege, and may I say how much we've enjoyed having His Holiness in the Deanery of Westminster Abbey. It's done us all good. And so may I ask Your Holiness now to address us.
Brothers, sisters, I am deeply honored to speak. In this place, and I'm happy or delighted to meet some of my, I think here is on the faces. It seems to see many faces. My old friends. And as well as many new faces, but I believe all are same brothers, sisters. When we look on the surface, there are many differences, but in deep down, every human being is made by same material, the human flesh, human blood, human bone. And with that, it's the same feeling. Want happiness, do not want suffering. Now, I believe, that is the, on that basis, human evolution, changing. I think entire human history coming on that, basis. So now today, with our past generations, great effort, some cases great sacrifice. Now today, we, in many cases, we have, many good facilities, which are very helpful, very useful for humanity. But meantime, we also facing, new kinds of problem, which in the past never happened. Now, some of these problems are really serious. Now, that is actually, related or deal with the question of very survival of humanity. This is not something which is simple, crisis, but something very, deep matter. So now here, this shows definitely we are lacking something. Science and technology, through science and technology, we achieve many things. We achieve, marvelous things. But yet, there are many more problems. Some problems are increasing. That is indication that we are lacking something in our heart. So you see, it is very, very essential, to examine oneself. Now you see, Now we are facing, the 21st century. Now, if this present, trend, goes, what kind of century, what kind of, situation will face? Now, now this moment, I think it is necessary and worthwhile to examine, inner world, more examine in inner world. Sometimes I, jokingly told audience that we are, spending, a lot for exploration of outside space. But I do feel, within, small place of human head, human skull, I call inner space. Now, I think there are a lot of things yet to explore within our, inner space. So now, it is time to think more innerward. Now, because why I am telling this is It is quite obvious. Now, there is a suffering or problem, and largely is it dependent on one's own mental attitude. If we adopt a right kind of mental attitude, I think, you see, we can, if not solve all problems, but definitely it will reduce. Now you see, now on the basis, you see, every human being do not want suffering and want happiness. Now you see, in individual cases, in family level or national level or international level, you see, the violence, you see, hatred, fighting will bring suffering and more trouble. So now you see, we want peace in every level. Now you see, that peace, peace cannot come from sky, or you see, war or violence not grow from earth, but both of these things, you see, mainly due to our own mental, you see, attitude. So now if we, you see, neglect hatred feeling or anger or jealousy, extreme greedy, it will create more problem. The other hand, if we increase, if we realize and try to make attempt to increase our love, you see, kindness, compassion, it will help to create, you see, peace atmosphere, you see, within our own family or, you see, in every level. Now that is quite clear. So now that, you see, in human society, especially today, I think one of the most important thing is I'm very sorry, my, you see, English, very difficult to express. Now, you see, especially in the front of Englishmen. you see, now, so you see,
we have to pay more attention
about, you see, these human qualities. Now you see, another reason. Now I feel like this. Now the entire human society is a problem. Now today there are a lot of problems. Now economic problem, you see, the political, racial problem, in many fields, different kinds of problem. Now you see, many people, you see, trying to solve these, each problem. Very good. But I feel now at the moment, I think our position is something like this. A patient, you see, who basically, you see, very weak, you see, physical condition, health, very weak. During that moment, you see, while you treating the particular illness, you see, you must pay more attention the basic, the strength. If the patient weak, then very difficult to get, satisfactory treatment of particular illness. Something like this. Now, for example, now you see East and West. I think in that level, on that matter, I think they fear, hatred, I think very much involved. Now you see South and North. Now here, in this respect, I think greedy. also now this is selfish and greedy, very much involved. Now you see, in both cases, now you see, in particular, how to say, point, there may be, you see, many, many methods. But basic point is, it is the sign of the lacking compassion, you see, lacking respect for other. Now, lacking the clear, genuine realization of oneness of brothers and sisters. This is no matter southerner or northerner, easterner or westerner. No matter, you see, what ideology, you see, what racial, what system, what government system. Basically, all are same human brothers and sisters. And more, you see, everyone wants happiness, do not want suffering. So now, you see, I think it is the time, you see, to treat not as this particular problem, this one, this nation or that nation, but we have to find out, or we have to think more, you see, a kind of, you see, treatment for entire humanity. And another reason, you see, world becoming smaller and smaller, and heavily and very much dependent on each other. So now, you see, it is very difficult to solve one, you see, problem independently, you see, without thinking of other one. So from that viewpoint also, you see, we need sort of, you see, certain attitude towards, you see, looking entire humanity and to do something for humanity entirely, like that. So now, so I think, you see, we need sort of, I think we may call revolution or some kind of, you see, new outlook towards, you see, humanity, the problem we are facing. And what kind of problem we'll face our next generation, next century. So now, you see, the key point is important to increase our love and compassion. That not, you see, biased one, but true, genuine, you see, love and compassion. I mean, you see, if you develop a genuine compassion, that will cover, you see, everyone, including your enemy. You see, that on the basis, if we develop sort of, you see, understanding or, how to say, respect for others' right, then it will develop a compassion which cover everybody, especially your enemy. Now, for example, you see, without practice of tolerance and forgiveness, difficult to develop a proper, genuine compassion. Now for that, now you see, enemy is the main source to develop tolerance. Without enemy, we can't practice, you see, patience and tolerance. So you see, we need practice of tolerance and patience and forgiveness. For that, you see, the only enemy give us that opportunity. So you see, from that viewpoint, if we think properly, enemy, to develop hatred, but instead you may develop deep respect and a gratitude feeling. So now this is very important to practice, to develop, how to say, genuine love and compassion. Now, I want to express, now, you see, this moment, conflict, the disagreement, these should be should regard as a human problem. I mean, you see, the conflict should be humanized. If you see conflict, is the other word, something like, you see, mechanized, then you see there will very little human feeling. Now that is very dangerous. Now I often feel, now you see, the ancient time, now the war took, during war, it is very bad. Still, there was the human feeling. If someone, while fighting, you see, seeing the bleeding, that gives you the human feeling. Now, today, you see, modern warfare. Now, in a beautiful office, comfortable office, just you see, simply, pushing the button. All the destructive weapons, you see, go without, slightest human feeling. Now, that is really dangerous. So now, you see, today, we should try to, these conflicts should be humanized, and our various, national leaders should meet often, as the human brothers, sisters, and let themselves know each other as a human brothers, sisters. Try to develop, awareness each other. Make, know each other. It will help to develop more trust. One of the most obstacle for, agreement, unity, is, suspicion, distrust. So for that, I think it will be very helpful to meet, often those, leader should not expect, big result, big result. Sometimes, without big agenda, simply meet and talk. Serious business. Just simply, meet and chat, talk. It will help to realize, this is such a human being, like that. So now, this is my, my prayer and my hope. Then I want to explain you something about the essence of Buddhism. Now, about, in practically every Buddhist, book that, it mentioned, Four Noble Truths. So I will explain very shortly something about it. Now, this I will speak in Tibetan. My friend will translate. So I think you may feel strange. This is my more Indian accent English. His American accent English. But very nice.
Now, with respect to Buddhism, we often hear the Four Noble Truths, and because in general all people want to get rid of suffering, there is within the Four Noble Truths, there's a set of cause and effect with respect to suffering. And then since everyone wants some permanent form of happiness, there's a set of two truths with regard to the cause and effect of achieving happiness.
That dinshi thangku dela pena ngaran ju chi ka so re pen go na sa ro lu ji na sa na na sa ji de a ge tungen de ju te di tungen ji tungen se ne tungen ji xia re.
The first truth, the truth of suffering, is comprised of three different types, and the first is called the suffering of pain itself. That is to say, things as simple as headaches and so forth.
Tene ngaranzu yongzhaliya, dewal zitaya, dezu tedi, pukzati dungi ranshi indu zane, tele gyue dungi zilu.
Then the second type of suffering is called the suffering of change. These are things, these are experiences that we usually consider to be pleasurable, but are in fact, in their inner essence, a form of suffering. Then the third level, the deeper level of suffering, is called the suffering of conditioning. This is the fact that our mental and physical entities are under the control of a contaminated process of causation. This our type of mind and body has as its causation a contaminated process. It serves as a basis for suffering now, and it induces suffering in the future. Now, when we speak of samsara or cyclic existence, it's mainly referring to this level of suffering. Then, what are the causes of this suffering? They are described in the second of the Four Noble Truths, the truth of the origin of suffering. There, within the origins of suffering, the first origin is that of contaminated action, actions that are induced by afflictive emotions, such as desire and hatred. Those actions and karmas, the dispositions deposited in the mind by those actions, the actions being driven by factors such as desire and hatred. Then, since we want to get rid of suffering, it is necessary to examine whether this suffering can be extinguished or not. It is in this context that there comes to be the third of the Four Noble Truths, the truth of cessation. With regard to cessations, there are cessations that come about merely due to the absence of the conditions that would cause that particular suffering or afflictive emotion. But then there's another type of cessation that is brought about by analysis through a spiritual path. It is called an analytical cessation. Here in the Third Noble Truth, the reference is to this latter analytical cessation. Then the complete conquest over these afflictive emotions through relying on their antidotes is called liberation. Now, this type of liberation is something that is suitable to be accomplished within the context of our own mental continuum.
Kada jik matuwa, jabjin tsamad jabaji, yindu zane
Now the reason why it is possible to train one's mental continuum such that one can overcome these afflictive emotions of desire, hatred, and so forth is that desire, hatred, and so forth have as their root an ignorant consciousness that misconceives the nature of phenomena, whereas phenomena do not exist from their own side or inherently. We conceive them to exist inherently. On the basis of that ignorance, we are drawn into desire and hatred. And through reflecting on the absence of such inherent existence, one is capable of developing a wisdom consciousness that directly opposes this ignorance and makes that ignorance impossible. Thus, the afflictive emotions are removable, and in order to bring about this removal, then, one has to train in the fourth of the Four Noble Truths, the truth of the path. In terms of the path, in summary form, the basis of the path is good ethics, good conduct. With that as one's basis, one tames the mind through deep meditation, meditative stabilization. And then on the basis of that, one can develop a wisdom consciousness that penetrates the meaning of reality.
This is the, you see, essence of Buddhism. I'll finish. The next session.
We shall have an opportunity at the end of expressing thanks. I do express thanks to the professor. I was a little disappointed that I wasn't called upon to do the translation, but I'm sure he did it very well. I'm hoping now that the questions which I'm going to put to His Holiness will fall rather tidily in a sort of threefold development. But as you know, the best laid plans of mice and men gang after glay. But I shall begin with what I would call a religious dimension. Then I hope to go on to what we may call a social or political dimension, and ending up with a personal dimension. And that's where our little girl's question will come probably most appropriately. But could I ask Your Holiness, I'm just reflecting now around a religious dimension, because what we all understand well, and I think it's an encouragement to us, is that compassion, kindness, and caring is rooted in the spirituality realized in practice within Buddhism. And that strikes me as something important. I mean, the West may be world-affirming, and you talked about developing, didn't you, something inside the head, the cosmos within. But the question I want to put to you to answer is something like this, and I'm quoting you actually now, because you once wrote that I always believe that it is better to have a variety of religions, a variety of philosophies, rather than one, a single one. In other words, that there is a value in having a number of differing religions. And would you like to enlarge that? Because it's an interesting one, particularly when we are talking about dialogues of faith.
Yes, I always believe, you see, variety of religion, tradition, that serve a larger number of people. And also, you see, now, according to my own experience now, for example, you see, meeting with different tradition, different, I'd say, religious faith, and discuss with these people, then you see, you get new ideas, you see, new experience, which very useful in one's own daily life's practice. So I noticed very clearly, you see, some of our Christian brothers, sisters, you see, after discussing with, how to say, the such as Buddhist tradition, they also, you see, satisfy to learn, you see, new things, to useful in their own practice. And another thing now, they basically all different religion, you see, aiming, how to say, more or less, how to say, the same. That is the benefit of all mankind. You see, serving or helping. And also the every religion carry the same message, what to say, compassion and love, as you put it.
Are you saying really that ultimately behind ideologies, metaphysics, systems, doctrines and so forth, you think there is a kind of kernel right in center which the developed faiths would share?
I usually, you see, looking the, or the result, the philosophy, there are big differences. Some are, you see, fundamental. But all are aiming the helping humanity, try to produce a better human being.
In other words, concentrate on the affinities rather than the differences, really.
Concentrate on the closeness rather than
the distance. Yes, that's right.
Yes.
But yeah, you see, one thing. No. you see, my own, how to say, way or belief is, you see, let us know what differences, what fundamental differences. With that, you see, full awareness or realize. Then, you see, think more. You see, what is the main aim? Then, I feel, you see, that is the ground we, how to say, to unite.
Yes.
And every, you see, person, I mean, every, I mean, religious practitioner, if you follow sincerely one's own teaching, then you see, there is no, I mean, no, how to say, I mean, no reason to become religious, different faith, become a kind of instrument for dividing. This I believe.
Because that's the tragedy of history, isn't it? I mean, that religions have in fact proved divisive,
right,
and deplorably so. Would you also then say that probably truth is in one sense bigger than all of us put together, that we are refracting or expressing different sort of areas, would you?
Right.
Yes.
Truth is bigger than all of the religions.
Right, that's right.
These Americans are very useful at times, aren't they? I mean, very ironical people. Can I just put another question to you, which is one that often puzzles me, because there are variants of Buddhism. I've tried to study it. I found it very subtle, and in some ways, that's why I find you so helpful, because you penetrate to what one calls the ultimate truths or simplicities behind it. But Tibetan Buddhism is different in certain aspects from other expressions of Buddhism, isn't it? In what way would that be the case?
I think, you see, I think, you see, in the Buddhism which we practice, now, it's a complete form of Buddhism. You see, my reason is this. When I visit or meet Buddhist brothers or sisters, you see, come from Sri Lanka or Burma or Thailand. There, you see, there's a lot of things in common. Since, you see, we practice so-called the Theravadin system too. So therefore, you see, there is plenty of common thing to discuss and exchange experiences. Then, when we, you see, discuss with, you see, those Buddhists from Japan or from, you see, Korea, like that, these Buddhists, they are a follower of Mahayana Buddhism. And also, you see, in Japanese case, and they also, you see, practice, how to say, the tantric. Perhaps you know something?
I'm looking, I understood
it. So, you see, here also, you see, we have similar, same teachings, or I'd say, you see, same scriptures like that. So, that shows the Buddhism which we practice is, all these, you see, different traditions included.
Now, can I ask you a pretty practical question, really, because you spent a little time, didn't you, with the monks at Ampleforth. Ampleforth is a Benedictine abbey, derivative from that supreme expression, Westminster Abbey. But it's a famous monastery, and it's got traditions going back for centuries. Now, did you feel that the monks there, at home, in the sense that though the theology may be different, yet in a sense you felt the warmth?
Oh yes, very much. You see, there are those short time. While that is a short period, we meet, you see, for discussion, and you see exchange. You see, there is a spontaneous, expression. And one occasion, you see, one of monk, spontaneously start to sing a song.
Yes.
So you see, it somehow, you see, touch. They themselves also, you see, I think, you see, some strong feeling, and myself also a bit moved. And one thing, you see, there I met the one old monk there.
Yes.
Oh, physically very weak. And you see, when I visit his room, and we discuss there, you see, despite his old age and weak, physical, his mind, you see, very alerted and high spirit. And you see, on his face, no sign of, worry or sorrow. That, you see, I felt, you see, I am impressed, you see, very much. That is the real, you see, purpose of practice of spiritual. When people facing the, desperate situation or difficult situation, that moment, spiritual help must be there. You see, when you see, in church or temple, this is some feeling, outside, no more feeling, then, you see, when you facing or when you passing through difficult period, then there is no helper. So you see, sometimes we use, very often come like this. When we are happy, we can talk, you see, spiritual values like that, philosophy and things like that. When you are facing actual problem, then all these spiritual things are run away. Now, that is not good. You see, during that moment, spiritual value must be there. So that I found there.
Well, now, can I ask you, there's a very famous, quotation from the Old Testament, which I often reflect around. It says, "Blessed are they who, going through the veil of misery, use it for a well, and the pools are filled with water." Now, you have had, haven't you, a lot of suffering, for your people, which you've identified yourself with, and you must have very often felt the burden of pain and so on. Now, Has it been for you helpful? I mean, you learnt something through it, you know, that probably you would not have got other than the kind of hard way, or is that a rather romantic view?